The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
He is Mark Ingram. He's the UAB Athletic Director. I'm Tony Curry. This is called the UAB Director's Chair. We are honored to not only have Mark on every single week, but to have him from Vail, Colorado this week as the AAC coaches' meetings are going on. And I know the ADs are there, the presidents are there, basketball coaches as well in beautiful Vail. What's the weather like out there in Vail there, Mark?
You know what? Hey, it's Tony. Good to be with you. It's, mostly sunny, partly cloudy. It's not as cold as I thought it was going to be. We looked at the weather forecast, my wife and I, and we thought, boy, it's, you know, like low of 28.
Yeah.
And high of 45. And so we packed for really, really warm weather. And when the sun's not out, you can feel it's, you know, it gets chilly. But it's not that bad. It's pretty comfortable out here. The thing that you got to get used to is this elevation change.
Yeah.
We're at 8,100 feet. Alabama, Birmingham's at like 600 feet.
Yeah.
You know? And so I didn't know it, but it creates a real problem. Like you get tension headaches and you get winded really easy. You know, you get up in the night to, you know, get out of the bed and go over across the room, and you're winded. And it's not just because you're out of shape, you know?
I understand. I was going to say you don't have some oxygen.
I could be in better shape.
I understand. And I know from a sports standpoint that is certainly holding true. And I know with the Denver Nuggets getting ready to host game one of the Miami Heat, a lot of people are talking about some of the advantages of actually being used to that type of atmosphere and playing in that
stuff. Yeah, I would say so.
Well,
yeah, I would say that definitely is true.
I know you're going to give us a few nuggets that the coaches have spoke about, and certainly the presidents and the AD. And, of course, it's got to make you feel super cool to be going into the AAC for the first time and be part of those meetings. And let me ask you this. This reminds me kind of like when a family has a big get-together every year for Thanksgiving, and one of the girls brings her new boyfriend to the group, and he kind of comes in, doesn't really know how to fit in. So what's it like for Mark Ingram being now in the AAC?
Well, I'm really fortunate in the American. So the athletic director at Memphis is a guy named Laird Veach. We used to be neighbors. We worked together at Missouri. The athletic director at Temple, Arthur Johnson, we worked together at Georgia. His football coach, Stan Drayton, and I worked together at Tennessee. And there's just a bunch of interesting connections like that. It's people that you've worked with before. Eric Kunkel, who's the basketball coach, the head men's basketball coach at Tulsa. He was at La Tech, so I knew him through that. But he also, 20 years ago, he and I worked together at Tennessee for about a year and a half. So, you know, it's fun to be able to see old friends really and to be able to visit with them. And so it hadn't been, you know, it's not that unusual. And then of course we've got the five other schools from Conference USA joining us, so they're all familiar faces. So it's been comfortable and enjoyable to see everybody.
And for people who don't know, who are the other teams that are going to be joining the AAC?
Yeah, the other five would be Charlotte, Florida Atlantic, mm-hmm. Rice, San Antonio, and North Texas.
There you go.
So they are all joining with us. So yeah, they're all here as well.
That's fantastic. Mark Ingram joins us right now, UAB Director's Chair. Of course, you can hear the show at least five times a week on the TKR app. Make sure you download it on Apple, TKR, Tony Curry Radio on Android. And of course, so wherever you get your podcasts, we're available everywhere. This is one of our most listened to shows. And I know you'll feed us a couple of nuggets from what's going out there and some of the discussions you've had so far. We'll get into that in just a second. Do want to talk about a little hoops, though, because some interesting news. Jelly Walker, of course, had a pre-draft workout with the Dallas Mavericks, which certainly bodes well for the branding of the UAB basketball program. I'll talk about that a little bit. And then we got Mr. Eric Gaines coming back, who pulled his name from the 2023 NBA draft, which is great news.
Yeah, we're thrilled to have Eric back. He's got a lot of talent, which everybody saw, of course, last year, flashes of. And I think, you know, like anything, Eric's going to continue to work on his game, refine his game. He's such a tremendous athlete. You know, he and it's just easy to see. And I'm sure that, you know, and I don't know any, you know, of the detailed conversations he had with various scouts and things, but I'm sure it's easy for them to see as well, you know, how athletic, how fast, how he's really creative with the ball. But, you know, sometimes that creativity can get you in trouble. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just continuing to refine your game and be more consistent in every aspect of it. And so, you know, staying with us gives him an opportunity to do that. I think that's good. You know, as far as Jordan goes, I mean, we're not surprised. You know, Andy told me last year, he said Jordan Walker can come off the ball and shoot, off the dribble and shoot better than anybody in college basketball. Yeah. And he said, you know, Jordan, who's not a super tall guy, you know, needs to find the right team, the right fit. But he said he absolutely can play in the NBA because of his ability to shoot and score. And he said, that's what the NBA is. Got to shoot, got to score. And he said, Jordan Walker knows how to do that. So I'm thrilled for him and hope that he has other opportunities like that.
You know, just coming from a fan standpoint, too, and having seen UAB play hoops so many times this past year, we must have been down there 10 or 12 times. Obviously, you had two great athletic ball handlers on the floor at the same time with Jordan and Gaines. And sometimes it felt like, and certainly when Jelly was out those four or five games, Gaines was kind of coming into his own. And I really wanted to see him come back just because I want to see him be more of a leader on this basketball team. And I want to see what kind of leader he can be, first of all, what kind of distributor he can be, because I know he's a great passer. Yeah. You mentioned he's got that street ball mentality. Sometimes he's doing some passes underhanded and things like that, and that doesn't always bode well for an Andy Kennedy type offense. But I really want to see what kind of leader and what kind of scorer he can be if he is the point man, if he's the number one point.
Yeah, and, you know, those sort of – you mentioned, you know, whether it's a behind-the-back pass or sort of a bounce pass, one-handed bounce pass through the lane – You actually can execute those if you're with your team longer. The longer you're with your team, your teammates know that you may do that. They know about your skills. They know about your tendencies. And then naturally, Eric knows theirs. So those things actually improve over time as the team has time to gel together. And so, yeah, he's got a lot of – again, he's just got a ton of talent that we're thrilled to have back. It's going to be fun.
He is Mark Ingram. He's the UAB athletic director. And of course, you can follow him at UAB_AD on Twitter. And of course, UABsports.com. There've been a lot of announcements going on about the television schedule for the AAC. You can go and check that out as well at UABsports.com. We're going to get into some classic rock, grunge, indigo. I'm not sure what our list is really going to comprise of, but you wanted to pick the top four bands since 2000, and we'll get into that on the latter side, which was probably one of the most difficult things I've ever done because I just don't listen to that much. And then I'm thinking to myself, hell, it's 23 years of music. I should know something for 23 years, and I do, and we'll have that list coming up here in just a few minutes. Tell us what you guys have been discussing. What's it like, obviously, having the new schools join the AAC? Obviously, there's a warming-up period, and you mentioned the fact that you have a lot of strong branding yourself and networking with a lot of these other ADs, so you know these guys. You're not going in cold. But what are some of the things that have come to the table? You discussing? Let me ask you this. How does it work? Is there a brainstorming sessions? How does it actually go?
Yeah, you know, you've got the basketball coaches out here, men's and women's. You got the head football coaches, and then you got the presidents and the ADs. We all meet separately. We also have our faculty athletics reps and our SWAs. So all these groups meet separately and then come together to say, okay, the men's basketball coaches discussed these, you know, here's a summary. We discussed these seven items that we'd like to continue to evaluate and discuss further and explore options on this. And that could range from what does the tournament look like, tournament format, an 18 game versus 20 game schedule, like a conference schedule, and what would that look like? And is that something that we want to explore? There's a recent conversation about some additional things that we could do in the summer. So some coaches are for it, some are totally against it. And just hearing everybody out, you know, there's such great value for me. Listen, Andy Kennedy's great, and I get to work with Andy all the time, but it's so good to be able to hear another coach from another school, you know, sort of voice their opinion. And, you know, nine times out of 10, you're going to say, okay, I'm not sure I really thought of it like that. Okay, that's an interesting way to see that. Mm-hmm. I didn't see it like that. And so that's the value in all this is being with each other to gain, you know, knowledge and insights from one another that we would not otherwise, you know, have the privilege of gaining. So, you know, and in football, you know, continuing. You talk a lot about technology right now. That's a hot topic nationally. Technology in the bench area, technology, communication devices between coach and player on the field, similar to the NFL. You know, do we like that? Do we not like that? You may like that, but all these things may come with a price tag that you can't afford. You know, so so there's that too. You don't just jump into it and say, well, oh yeah, let's go do that. Oh, wait a minute, you got to spend $300,000 on the technology that you just voted for. Oh wait, what? You know, so you know, all those things have to be evaluated, and just your ability to do it. It's not just do you like the idea, but can you actually go execute that idea? So these are kind of the hot topics, and yeah, it's no shock, you know, name, image, and likeness, and you know, coaches trying to poach players off of other coaches' rosters. You know, these are the things that get brought up most frequently, and probably the greatest amount of passion, and then followed by, you know, gambling. Where is gambling at nationally in that discussion? And some states are legalizing sports gambling, some are not, and you know, sort of stomp their foot down, they're not going to. And you know, but if you're when you're in a conference, you know, there might be legalized gambling in my state, but then we go play a game in your state where it's not, you know, legal. And it's just really interesting. And some of these gaming sites, you know, that want to partner with you, and some people say, well, let's not partner with them because that, you know, our state doesn't legalize it, and so we don't want to be any part of it. Okay, but then others say, hey, look, if we don't get involved with these guys, we're going to find ourselves behind.
Yep.
And maybe if we get involved with them, we can have some control in what, you know, and how it works. And so it's, again, it's all really high level without a whole lot of, you know, definitive action taken. Sometimes there is, but really good discussion to hear the challenges that we all face. And it's while so many things are similar, when you realize state to state how things are governed, state to state, how broadly we all have to manage our various institutions, it's really interesting.
UAB Athletic Director Mark Ingram joins us live from Vail, Colorado here as the AAC spring meetings continue. He's been giving us a couple little nuggets that you guys talking about. I do think it's interesting, and you mentioned the fact, obviously, that UAB, along with five other teams now in the AAC, we know that Texas and Oklahoma made their presence known at the SEC meetings down in Destin, and obviously all these spring meetings going on, all these conferences right now. And it feels a little bit like NASCAR about 10 years ago, where you knew who the Maxwell driver was, you knew who the DuPont driver was, and now all of a sudden everyone's trading paint and they're going into different directions and different owners and everything else. And it's going to be difficult to remember who's where now in conference football. Do you kind of feel like, or do some of the coaches and the ADs and the presidents kind of feel like things have settled down just a little bit, and that expansion or moving around a little bit may subside just for a little bit? Or do you continue to think that it's going to keep changing?
No, we think it's going to move. We think it's going to keep changing, and we think it's definitely not over. Now, how much longer is that going to last before it settles? I don't know that anybody. It may never settle completely, right? I mean, the one thing that regarding expansion that we all know is that it's been happening since sports, you know, began. So we'll continue to deal with that. We'll continue to deal with that, you know.
I do think it's pretty bizarre in the fact that, I mean, you're talking about two of the biggest schools from the Big 12 going to the SEC. That was tectonic plate movement. I mean, I was looking back, and I was trying to remember when A&M joined the SEC, and that was 11 years ago. And so, I mean, it's
right.
It's been emotions for a while, and I know that and it's interesting too to me that some conferences feel like we'll never. And I know the ACC has gone through that. They're now putting rules in place to make sure that other teams. I've always been like, you know, if you're going out with me and you don't want to be with me, then leave. I'm not going to do everything I can to try to keep you. And it seems like the ACC is being a little more proactive in his thought process. And listen, we're going to make it really difficult for you to leave us. And you want teams to be part of what you're doing. And hopefully some of those Power Five conferences and Group of Five conferences get that. But I guess we're just in a different area now, and everyone's going to do. I don't want teams, you know, changing conferences every 4 or 5 years. And that's what I'm afraid we're getting to.
No, I can appreciate that. And I think the best part about the realignment discussion is just open honesty that it exists. We all know we have to do what is best for our university, whatever that is, which could be hey, I got an invitation to go to that conference, but you know what? We've decided it's actually best for us to stay. Now, that doesn't happen a whole lot, but it happens. And I just think being able to sit in front of everybody and go, okay, what do we think the exit fees ought to be? Do we think we're in the right place on an exit fee or not?
Yeah.
Knowing full well that there's somebody in the conversation that's trying to find a way out, yeah. Right? There's all, you know, somebody's trying to strategically position themselves for, you know, greener pasture, so to speak. And, but, you know, you got to have those conversations. And, you know, it's kind of funny, like these sort of things, like, I'm all for a steep penalty, unless, of course, we're talking about us, in which case we don't think we want a steep penalty, you know?
Yeah.
So, but you know, the best part about the discussion is just, again, just open, honest dialogue.
All right. He's Mark Ingram at UAB _AD is his Twitter account. You can check him out. And I'm sitting here looking at some bands that I want to get into. So I need to concentrate on what I'm doing. I'm spending way too much time on this band thing than I am on UAB football and basketball and sports.
Come on now.
Yeah, we're going to get, and this was your list. You wanted to come up with your top four bands since 2000. I was like, here we go. I can do it since 1965, but 2000 is going to be interesting. So here on the director's chair, I'm going to let you start. You get some honorable mentions you do every single time we do this here.
Yeah, I'll be quick with my honorable mentions. So they're a great band. Only had one album called Silvertide. Silvertide's a great band, again, but only had one album early in the 2000s. Can't not mention Velvet Revolver, which is, you know, that's a Stone Temple Pilots, Guns N' Roses kind of hybrid band. Back with Scott Weiland, they were really, really good. Didn't last very long. Here's one that you may not have heard of that I think is really good. They got a very soulful sound called the Winery Dogs.
Never heard of
the Winery Dogs. Yeah. Have you? They're good, and I really like another one called the Virgin Marys. That's got a more of a modern rock sound. Different than those guys. There's one called Beautiful Creatures. Beautiful Creatures has got this old school rock kind of vibe to them. There was a band that I really liked in the 80s that wasn't very popular called Bang Tango, and their lead singer is now singing for Beautiful Creatures. So to me, that just makes them great.
There you go.
There's another one called the Temperance Movement. They've got a song called Only Friend that'll knock your socks off. And one that's a little bit more mainstream called Jet. I really like the band Jet. They kind of have a Beatles sound to me, kind of a the later, if you listen to the Beatles song Revolution and then go listen to Jet, they have a real similar sound to me. And then there's a band called The Struts that I really like. That sounds a little bit like a band called The Strokes, who also has kind of a rough, kind of almost garage band kind of feel to me. So those are just a few, along with I'll give one more, Blackberry Smoke. They've got a real southern rock sound. So that's a longer list than honorable mentions than I thought I'd give you. But those are all some really good ones that are modern since 2000 that I think if you haven't listened to, you ought to give them a listen.
I have not met a person who has not heard Blackberry Smoke who hasn't absolutely loved that band. They were on my list of honorable mentions. Good Charlotte, I think, is good. Lifehouse is a band that's been around for a while. Weezer is always a band that kind of blows me away.
Yeah.
Every time I hear a song and I'm like, who is that? It's usually Weezer, which is kind of strange. You mentioned The Strokes, which I like. Tool, who's going to be playing this big Power Trip gig with AC/DC and Ozzy Osbourne and Metallica and Iron Maiden coming up in Indio, California a little bit later on in October, which is going to be an unbelievable show. And there's this band I saw, Mr. Chemical Romance, which was just a funky band. Mm-hmm. I think I saw them on, I forget what show it was. I don't know. It was one of the late night shows. And I was kind of like dozing off a little bit. And I thought, man, that band's really good. And so I wanted to write them down. I started listening to some of their stuff as well. So, all right, your top four bands here on the UAB director's chair since 2000. Give me your first one.
Well, no particular order here.
Okay.
But I would say, you know, you hear me talk about Van Halen a lot.
Yeah.
So I got to go with Mammoth WVH, which is WVH, which stands for Wolfgang Van Halen. That is the son of Eddie Van Halen and Valerie Bertinelli. I'll tell you what is really impressive. I mean, look, you grow up in a house where your dad is the greatest, you know, in my mind, the greatest guitarist of all time. And your uncle is one of the greatest drummers of all time. You know, you're around a lot of really cool stuff and a lot of music. This guy, Wolfgang Van Halen, is playing every single instrument and singing. So the recording is all him. Obviously, he can't do that live, but on the album, it's all him. Yep. So super impressive. That's my first one.
You know what? I'm right on your back. I'm gonna since it's on my list, I'm gonna go ahead and jump on your bandwagon there. I actually played several songs for Mammoth Van Halen, if you will, Wolfgang. I think it's unbelievable. I hate that he is coming out now with the type of music he's doing, because if this music came out in the 70s and 80s and even early 90s when we had AOR radio and it was as predictable and unbelievable as it was when I was doing classic rock, we would have played every stinking song from his last album. Think It Over, which is a great song. Don't Back Down, which is great. And there was one song that rarely do you hear a song one time and you're like, that song, you cannot wait to hear it again. It's called You're to Blame. It is fantastic. So I am going
really
to,
good.
I am going to piggyback with you. And if you have not checked out Mammoth Wolfgang Van Halen, man, do so, because it is fantastic. If you love the good classic rock, and like you said, though, sounds nothing like Van Halen, but it is just, and his videos are kind of goofy too. And I'll be honest with you, you know, he was obviously going through a very traumatic time when he lost his father. And I know he loves to drop the F-bomb, but I like that agitation. I think he exemplifies that agitation in his music. I think it's fantastic. Give me your second band.
Well, I mean, you know, the one more thing on him.
Yeah.
Kudos to him for not just sort of doing just going around and playing all the Van Halen songs.
No, and I mean, right? I hope he does. I think it's going to take some time, but I think there is a matter of time where at some point, maybe it's his third or fourth album in, that he will play some of his dad's stuff. I hope he does.
Yeah, it's one thing if you're live and you look, Justin Timberlake, you know, played Elvis music and Michael Jackson. I think that's cool to drop something into your show. A lot of people do that. I think he can do that too, but I'm saying, he's not out on some sort of, recreate and keep alive, you know, the Van Halen music, like he's a tribute band. Mm-hmm. And that's what I really respect about him. Okay, here's another one. Rival Sons, really good. Very blues rock. They've got an awesome singer, Rival Sons. And there's an Olivia Newton-John cover that they do from the movie Grease that you can check out on YouTube. That's really funny and interesting. Hopelessly Devoted to You. Oh, it's nice. Hilarious, but really good. But really, really good.
Speaking of guys who like to do cover songs, Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters has done the Bee Gees. He's done AC/DC. Mm-hmm. He's done Barry Manilow songs. And I mean, when he does it, man, he's not up just there. You know, it's not a YouTube thing, man. He actually puts together, orchestrates everything, and just sings it like it's the last time he's going to sing any of his covers. The fact that Kurt Cobain offed himself in 1994 and Dave Grohl started the Foo Fighters in 1995, we didn't know what this band was going to sound like. We didn't know what direction it was going to go. They have come out with 8 albums in the 2000s alone, and they are by far one of the most exciting bands. They're playing, of course, Oak Mountain Amphitheater. I don't think they played. I think they're playing later on in June. But I know that every time I go to a Foo Fighters show, it is going to be in your face. It's going to rock. I know that you talk about some F-bombs. You're probably going to hear that as well. And the thing that I love about the band, you didn't say, you know, the best music of the 2000s. You said the best bands. Man, when you go to a Foo Fighters concert, you may be playing drums before the end of the show.
Yeah.
I love the fact
that he pulls people up on stage a lot.
Yeah. I love the fact that they're so engaged with their audience. They allow people to come up on stage. It is all enriched and engaged with their band. And I mean, you may see him drinking a beer during one of their songs. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. So I'm going to go with the Foo Fighters. Who do you got next?
That's a great choice. And they seem like they're having fun, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They're unbelievable.
Right. They really seem like they're having a good time. Yeah, I'm with you. That's a great choice. Okay, here's one called Avenged Sevenfold. Okay. Now, they're a little heavier. They've got more of an 80s sound to them, but really, really good. And if you listen to them, you're going to go, oh, man, I know those guys. But not so much a household name like the Foo Fighters, but really heavy sound, just very much like the 80s music that I really grew up loving, and one you ought to check out.
This is the director's chair, UAB director's chair. He's the director of course, the athletic director of the UAB Blazers. He joins us from Vail, Colorado, in that high air, 8,100 feet above sea level, as a matter of fact, right now, for the AAC spring meetings. And we're talking about our four best bands since 2000. I was going to take the easy way out and go with U2 because they're still relevant. They've been around for 43 years. All That I Can Leave Behind came out in the 2000s, How to Dismantle an Atom Bomb. They just came out with an album a couple years ago called Songs of Experience, where they actually went through some of their old music and did some rearrangements, which I'm usually not too crazy about because it looks kind of lazy. But the album was so much different than the originals that I thought, wow, they put a lot of time in this. But I'm not going there. I'm going to go with another band that's been around for a long period of time. They've put out 11 albums, 23 live albums they put out. I have never seen them live, and I cannot believe I haven't done it, but a band that's just absolutely killed it, and they had an album just came out 3 years ago called Gigantic. And I'm going to go with Pearl Jam just because I think they're so relevant. There's so many of these grunge bands, these late 80s, early 90s, mid-90s bands that once it started getting hard, they hung it up, and Pearl Jam is still so distinctive in sound. Every time I hear them, I know it's them, and I know it's going to be a great song, and it's going to be a great sound and a great show. I'm going with Pearl Jam as my third.
Wow, look at that. Well, now you surprised me with that. I wouldn't have guessed you'd gone with them.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. All right, last one for me. Dirty Honey.
Dirty Honey
sounds, yeah, Southern rock. It has a bit of a Lynyrd Skynyrd vibe to it. You know, I mentioned that on the show last week. Maybe I'm just turned into a hillbilly. I don't know, but they really sound great. Give that a listen. Dirty Honey, really good.
All right, never heard of them. I'll have to give it a shot. And my last band, and no band wears socks better, I'm going to go with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Another band, they've been around for almost 40 years. They came out in 84, Unlimited Love, which is a band. You know, normally I don't pick up new stuff, but I heard their album, Unlimited Love. It came out just last year. They've sold millions of albums. And again, one of those bands that just continues to go out there and get it done. And every time, you know, the Red Hot, there are people that take holidays just to go see the Red Hot Chili Peppers play in different states. And they're still so relevant in the 2000s. So I'm kind of fighting back on some of these late, lousy grunge bands that I don't like. And a lot of these bands just don't have a platform to play their music because there's just not a lot of live rock bands that play on music right now, because all these classic rock stations won't play anything after 2000. And you got all these great bands that are putting out all this great music, and you can't hear it anywhere. And, of course, I play a lot of stuff here on Tony Curry Radio, so fantastic. Great list, my friend. You got anything else you want to add?
You too. That's it, man. That was a good one.
Hey, fantastic stuff. When you heading home?
Well, let's see. We're going to leave Friday and head back to Birmingham. So we're, you know, Tuesday to Friday is this event. It's great time together. It's great time for the coaches and ADs to really get to know each other. And we have some social time, but it's mostly just between meetings and things. But, you know, during the year, things are going to come up. Things are going to happen where some weird event is going to happen at your school. And having a relationship with the other coaches and a relationship with the other ADs really helps to work through differences when you have them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, these meetings, not only are the discussion valuable, but it's the time together that may be more meaningful than anything.
There you go. Hey, Mark, safe travels, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks again, man.
All right, pal. Thank you.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.